What a beautiful prayer that was. Thank you so much for blessing us and leading us into the presence of God this morning. Good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Joe Hill, one of the pastors here at St. Timothy's Lutheran Church. And if Pastor Fred got to ask you to do something a little bit uncomfortable earlier, so do I. I'm going to ask you to listen to my sermon today. But in all seriousness, what a blessing it is to be here together as the unified body of Christ. Amen. You know, in a world that seems to be looking for more and more ways to draw lines between us, to tell us that we are divided, what a powerful testimony it is to Jesus Christ that we can gather together as God's people in unity and show the truth of Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, that says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ." Now, here at St. Timothy's this summer, we've been going through a verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter to the Galatians, a series that is a bit of a throwback for us here that we're calling A Lifestyle of Grace, because in Lent of 2023, we did a series that we called Lifestyle of Grace. And as we looked at this letter to the Galatians, we saw once again, as Paul makes his defense and his case for the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that how we live, the life that we live as those who put our faith in Christ, doesn't come from a place of hoping to earn and deserve our spot before God, our place in heaven, but it rather comes out of a firm and secure identity that we have in Jesus Christ as God calls us his sons and daughters and fills us with the Holy Spirit. And so today this series is going to continue, but that doesn't mean that you need to have heard our last 5 weeks of sermons to follow along today. You know, you don't need to go back and watch all of the all of the sermon videos on our website, although I will not tell you you can't. But today we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in our reading today. That text begins like this. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." It says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman under the law. Now, what does this mean? And why does it matter for us? Why does Paul belabor the point? You see, when the Apostle Paul, the author of Galatians, mentions these things, he's telling us something very important about who Jesus was. He's telling us that Jesus is like us, that he was truly human, that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was incarnate, made man, that he took on flesh and became one of us. And he did this so that he could do for us what we have proved over and over and over again we are unable to do for ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot pay the price of our sin, dig out of the hole that sin has dug for us in this life. You know, we sure have tried throughout human history. In fact, I think the story of human history is the one of us repeatedly in all times and in all places trying and failing to save ourselves. And for every glimmer of self-righteous hope that comes out of our attempt to do good deeds, there's the harsh and often brutal reality that comes hand in hand with it. that we still sin and are burdened by our sinfulness. We fail to overcome sin in this life. And then we have those quiet moments, those moments of reflection and introspection, where we think about who we are in this life, why we're here, and we look into the face of eternity. And so many people, when they do that, they do so with the gut feeling that one day their good deeds and their bad deeds will be weighed out against one another to ultimately determine which side of the line they fall on, hell or heaven. In fact, there's a song by a band you won't often hear quoted in church. They go by the name of Pearl Jam. I am a man of my time. It's called Last Kiss. And the lyrics in the chorus go like this. Where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've got to be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. It is that ingrained mentality. To go to heaven, I've got to be good. And yet the scriptures, the law in the scriptures shows us that none of us could be good enough, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And by our own best efforts, the only thing that we could do is make heaven less perfect. And so God sent his son, born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law. The early church theologian Athanasius of Alexandria puts it so well when he says it like this. He said, the Son of God became a human so that humans could become children of God. You see, because the Son of God has redeemed us who stood condemned under the law, we no longer have to live that life of striving for legalistic perfection, as if our eternity depended on which way the scales weighed when they balanced out our good and bad side, when they looked at our good and our bad deeds and our good and our bad motivations. Because the question on that final day when we stand before the Lord is not going to be, Pastor Jim, were you good? What would we say? What could we say? Luckily for us, that's not the question. Rather, the question on that day, have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ? And what's the answer? Yes. Because Jesus did this for you. For you. You can know where you stand before the Creator. You can know where you stand on that day before the only one who is a good and righteous and worthy judge. When you've been redeemed by Christ, you are adopted as God's children. And so on that day, we stand before him, not as ones who have failed to live up to the law, but as his beloved sons and daughters. You see, God sent his son to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. And so in Christ, there's no longer any question, no uncertainty about where you stand before your heavenly father. You've been adopted as a daughter, as a son. Children of the King of all creation. You are his beloved child. I want you to hear that today. You're his beloved child. And he has filled you with the Holy Spirit. And it is that spirit within us that cries out in that language of intimate relationship from the Aramaic, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba, that's the word for, you know, what we'd call daddy in English. It's one of the first words that a babbling baby can say as they look up to a father who loves them. Abba. And it is the Spirit of God himself that cries out within us to our Heavenly Father, recognizing who he is and receiving his great love for us. And as children of God, we are also heirs of the kingdom of God, heirs of the kingdom. And when we say that, it's not that we mean that we are going to inherit something that we are entitled to in the future. You know, I think too many Christians think of faith in Jesus as their golden ticket to heaven when they die. And so be good in the meantime so that I can make sure I punch my ticket when the time comes. I think of it like the golden ticket. Rather than thinking of it as the gracious invitation of God to new life, abundant life, and eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, as this text talks about heirs, I was reminded of the famous parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 15 that we often think of or call the prodigal son. And I think one of the unfortunate realities of, you know, we get these little headings in the Bible. They're not a part of the original text, but it helps us to, you know, sort of understand where we are. And so you'll get a heading like the parable of the prodigal son. And sometimes the problem with something like that is that it teaches us to focus on a particular thing or to read a text in a particular way when maybe there's something else going on. You know, when we talk about it as the prodigal son, we often then focus on that son, that one who came to his father and demanded his part of the inheritance today so that he could leave his father's house and go and squander it all on wild and sinful living. And when he had hit the bottom, he thought to himself, even the slaves in my dad's house, the servants in my dad's house have it better than I do. I'll go back to him and I'll say, Dad, I don't deserve to be called your son, but receive me back into your house as a servant. And yet the father, when he sees his son coming back, welcomes him off from afar, puts a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and says, my son who was dead is now alive. And he throws this big party. We know that part. And yet there was the son who was living in the house the whole time. He's resentful. He won't go into the party. He says to his dad, Dad, I have always been here with you. I have been slaving away in your house, doing everything you said, and you never even threw a little party for me. That son was stuck in the slave to the law mindset. And what's he saying? He's saying, Dad, haven't I been good enough? That other son of yours, he was a mess. I did everything you said. I followed all the rules. I did all of the work in your house. Haven't I been good enough? And the loving response of the father wasn't, yeah, you did it. Great job. He said, my son, you were always with me. And everything I have is yours. He says, you're not a servant in my house. You are a son and an heir. And everything I've always had has always been yours. Those are words for you today, brothers and sisters in Christ. That being heirs of God's kingdom is not just about going to heaven when we die, something we will get later. It is about living into that kingdom right here and right now. That's what we mean when we pray together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ever spend time thinking about what heaven will be like? You know, I do. And while I will admit that's not a great place to try and do theology out of, you know, what you think heaven's going to be like, sometimes I think it can be a really helpful and encouraging and sometimes even a convicting meditation to think about the glory and the beauty and the perfection of God's kingdom. And you see, that kingdom, it's actually breaking into the present right now. It's doing so as the Holy Spirit works in and through God's children, in and through his people. It works as he draws the hurting, the sick, and the broken to himself with words of comfort and healing. It happens as he reaches out and invites the sinners and the unworthy to sit at his table, not because they have done anything to deserve it, but because Jesus Christ has made them worthy, has made us worthy. He calls those who are proud in this life to pick up their cross, to follow Jesus and to see what it is like when they put Christ instead of themselves at the center of their lives. The kingdom of heaven breaks into this world as God unites those who have been divided and alienated from one another and from God by the disastrous power of sin. Today's service right here, a glimpse of the kingdom, isn't it? Heaven breaking into the here and now as people gather unified in the name of Christ to honor and glorify him, to do his will in this place and in the world around us. Heaven breaking into San Jose as we go out from this place to do the will of God, led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's will. You see, wherever the children of God go, filled with the Holy Spirit, heaven touches earth, and we catch a glimpse of that inheritance that we will one day see in all of its fullness. On that day when every tear is wiped away, every sickness is healed, and we worship God with all of the saints and the angels for all of eternity. Beloved children of God, heirs of his kingdom, if you ever want to know how loved you are, I would invite you to look at the cross, to see the great price that was paid so that you could be redeemed. And if you ever want to know what your heavenly Father has in store for you, in this life and in the next, look at that tomb. See that it's empty. And know that that very same power that rose Jesus from the grave is working new life, abundant life, and eternal life in you today, tomorrow, and for all of eternity. Now, to wrap up today, I want to jump back to the beginning of today's text, to those verses that you might have noticed I skipped at the beginning. It said this, when the set time had fully come. When the set time had fully come. Now, I've always been curious about this question, and maybe you have too. You know, why did Jesus come when he did? Why didn't he come earlier? Why did he come where he did? Why not in the age of TV and internet, where the message could spread quickly and easily? And the truth is, I've got my theories, and I think they're actually pretty decent. You know, happy to talk about them some other time if you're interested. But the truth is, at the end of the day, I do not know or cannot plumb the depths of God's wisdom, love, and grace. And so what I really have to say at the end of the day is, I don't really know. You know, why did Jesus come when he did? I don't know. But here's what I do know, is that he is coming to you here today, right now, coming to you in and through his word to tell you that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin. Coming right now to redeem those living under the burden of legalism, perfectionism, that existential uncertainty of not knowing where you stand before God in the face of eternity. It's coming to tell you that in Christ, you can know what eternity holds because you're a child of God. And as an heir of his kingdom, you can experience it today. Amen.